Welcome back to A Christian's Guide to the Quran. What you're going to see and hear is being recorded simultaneously on YouTube at the channel called The Professor English and sermonaudio.com/aservant70 for those who prefer audio. You can also go to ezine.com for a written transcript. Talking about the subject of the Quran, God's holy word, according to Muslims. One moment, I forgot my notebook. I surely can't do without that. Yeah, why are so many people coming into Islam? That's the subject of today's article. 1.5 billion Muslims live on our planet. The number grows daily. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the West. Word has it that there are as many Muslims as there are Jews or Presbyterians in America. How can this be? Now, the normal way of Islamic reproduction or growth has been birth, then indoctrination of the child, subjugation as they grow, and forced retention. That is, you don't dare leave the Muslim faith once you've been born into it. Results can be and have been disastrous for those who didn't believe this. But to say that all Islamic growth is due to this repressive 7th century mentality would miss the mark of truth. In fact, many are now being approached by the crescent on intellectual terms and finding Islam acceptable. I began to rack my brains for reasons why an American who knows of 9/11, for example, and other jihadist activities throughout the world, why such a person would willingly jump into the Islamic camp. Are they convinced that Muhammad is a real prophet? Do they believe the statements of the Quran are all true? Have they even read the Quran? Do they like the moral code compared to the cesspool of our own society, much of which claims to be Christian? I understand. Are they merely lonely people looking for friends and a purpose? Do they in fact enjoy the political possibilities of a downfall of America? I decided to widen my knowledge by Google. I think that's how a lot of us have been widening our knowledge lately. I found on Google that converts come to Islam for different reasons. Some of them are searching for discipline that the Christian church no longer offers in many locations. Clear sets of values and rules, clear order in a church or gathering, as opposed to the rock music inspired talk regime that has taken over in many quarters of the church. Islam certainly seems good for a person that's looking for rules. I found also that my hunch about lonely people is correct. Islam is community-based. The church is often meeting-based, but sometimes no community that follows. Much of what we see of our brothers is the back of their heads on a Sunday morning. After that, it's every man for himself. Another factor I'd overlooked is marriage. As in strict Catholicism, so in Islam. If you're going to marry him, you better convert real quick. That's the law in both of those religions. To ask him to leave his faith, well, it could mean his life. The odds are he doesn't want to leave it anyway. The odds are, in fact, that he was sent here to evangelize through romance. Maybe he wanted to marry an Islamic girl, but he sacrificed. He's doing jihad by romance. Oh, so many converts marry into the faith. And marriage produces children. And eventually, children creates population. And the Muslim population that we're looking at, growing and growing in nation after nation. Look at the statistics yourself. Related to the above, but maybe more for the female, is the idea of family life itself. Christians have the same statistics as unbelievers when it comes to divorce. Add to that the growing homosexual threat to marriage, unfaithfulness, disrespect for women, disrespect for marriage, disrespect for the traditional roles of men and women, and you build yet another case for Islam's rise. Woe to those among us who have given Christ a bad name by following the world's ways in regards to the place of women and the definition of marriage. I mentioned purpose in my guessing above, right on again, but perhaps sadly so. The Islamic purpose is worldwide control by Sharia law. You know, if you think you're on the winning team, it's fun to see that team score victory after victory. You see the good that Islam produces, and you begin to desire such peace and morality throughout the planet. You begin to justify even the criminal activities of the terrorists. At least, you think, we would be in a moral world. The end justifies the means. The communists think like this, too. But Sharia is a two-edged sword, literally. That which cuts against homosexuals and crime also cuts against Jesus Christ and His revealed word. To worship Christ, to leave Islam, to promote the true church with its true word, all these are offenses punishable by hanging or the sword in Islamic nations. Another reason for conversions today is in the area of discrimination. Blacks in particular have been discriminated against by fellow Christians, but are welcomed as equals in Islam. Now that's understandable, but can truth be sold so lightly? Are my feelings or the mistakes of my brothers more to be valued than clear statements of the Word of God about Jesus, which are openly violated in the Quran? And yet another idea posed is that of salvation itself. Hey, in Islam, there's no need to concern yourself about that whole sin and salvation issue. Just say you agree with the Quran and do your best to be a good moral person, and you've got as good a shot as anyone at going to heaven, which may not be that good a shot, by the way. This latter reason exposes Islam to be exactly like every other religion known to men. Salvation by works. Dependence on me. No need for Jesus. And so that's why people come to Muhammad. Aren't you glad you've heard of and come to Christ? Do you see the difference? Now, I served above a warning to those who cause us to look bad to the Muslims. It's not my personal warning. David was chastised because his awful sin had caused the enemies of Israel to laugh, not only at Israel, but at Israel's God. 1,000 years later, Jesus told his followers that those who teach even the smallest untruth about the kingdom, and thus the kingdom's King, will have to pay for such a mistake. It's a serious matter to misrepresent by word or action the one who makes the rules. One could opine that Christians who are not born again, hey, they're going to leave anyway, let them go back to Islam or wherever they want to go. Now, there's a bit of Calvin in thinking like that, but more seriously, once more the words of Jesus have been forgotten. Yes, said Jesus, offenses will come, but woe to that man by whom they do come. Yes, the day of Christ will not come, said Paul, until there's a great apostasy from the true faith. True enough, it's inevitable. But if a future Muslim can look back at our missteps today and say that it was one of us that sent them packing to Mecca, how joyful a thought will that be to retain into eternity? Let's be obedient to our wonderful Lord and His wonderful word. Muslims are not objecting to the perfect lifestyle that's portrayed in your Bible. They don't know that lifestyle because all they see is you and me. May God bring His Western church to repent of all that is not of Him. that those looking at us will see what they're supposed to see and have no excuses on that day. Now, I know Islam is wrong, but that doesn't excuse our behavior. Let's give him our best shot. Well, thank you for being with us this time. We're going to be back soon with more about Islam, Christian God to the Quran.